Bhagavad Gita has this text, chapter 15, Yoga of the Supreme Person, text 7 and 8. Mamaivamso jiva loke,
Mamaivamso jiva loke,
jiva bhuta sanatana,
jiva bhuta sanatana,
mana shashtin, mana shashtan indriyani,
mana shashtan indriyani,
prakriti stani karshati,
prakriti stani karshati,
mamaivamso jiva loke,
mamaivamso jiva loke,
jiva bhuta sanatana,
jiva bhuta sanatana,
mana shashtan indriyani,
mana shashtan indriyani,
prakriti stani karshati,
prakriti stani karshati.
Translation: the living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Text 8: Sariram yadavapnoti.
Sariram yadavapnoti.
Yacha pyutkramatishwaraha
Yacha pyutkramatishwaraha
Grihitvaitani samyati
Grihitvaitani samyati
Vayur gandhani vasayat
Vayur gandhani vasayat.
Translation: the living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Translation with repetition: the living entity,
in
the material world,
carries
his different conceptions of life,
from one body to another,
as the air carries aromas.
As the air carries aromas.
Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here the living entity is described as Ishvara, the controller of his own body. If he likes, he can change his body to a higher grade. And if he likes, he can move it to a lower class. Minute independence is there. The change his body undergoes depends upon him. At the time of death, the consciousness he has created will carry him on to the next type of body. If he has made his consciousness like that of a cat or dog, he is sure to change to a cat's or dog's body. And if he has fixed his consciousness on godly qualities, he will change into the form of a deva or demigod. And if he is in Krishna consciousness, he will be transferred to Krishna Loka in the spiritual world and will associate with Krishna. It is a false claim that after the annihilation of this body, everything is finished. The individual soul is transmigrating from one body to another, and his present body and present activities are the background of his next body. One gets a different body according to karma, and he has to quit this body in due course. It is stated here that the subtle body, which carries the conceptions of the next body, develops another body in the next life. This process of transmigrating from one body to another and struggling while in the body is called karshati, or struggle for existence. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation for text 6, 7 and 8 and purport of text 8 of the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, text 7 and 8, in the Yoga of the Supreme Person or the Purushottama Yoga. There's a lot of confusion in the world, even in the theistic world. Why God allows people to suffer so much. Recently in India, I don't know if it came out here in the press, that Mother Teresa, and she got the Nobel Prize, and she's also up to be a saint, she's being proposed to be a saint, that at some point she was corresponding with some of her mentors, and she had doubts. How can there be God if people have to suffer so much? So even such a service-oriented person, she was somewhat confused about what is the position. So in the Bhagavad Gita, one of the things that's established in the 9th chapter, here also in the 15th chapter, what is the role of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the material world? Why do so many horrible things happen, even if it seems like someone was a good person, pays his taxes? Some things bad happen to him too, right? So what the Bhagavad Gita explains, these laws of the material world, how there's the laws of karma. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it says the karmas that come from up to 100 births. So what did you do in verse 57 before? Or verse 28? Or 18? Or last birth even? Because according to what you did, then you'll get certain kinds of reactions. So people are only seeing this life, and they don't have a real value. Like someone may be a non-vegetarian and be consuming many slaughtered animals and wondering why he has to suffer, why people suffer, where there's... Prabhupada clearly explained that because of killing so many innocent animals, this brings different kinds of pestilence and violence on the society. So in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he puts the material nature in charge of the material world. And people, she does Srishti, Sthiti, Pralaya according to his instructions, his wishes, according to the laws. So there are these laws of karma. And individuals also get some minute independence, what they want to do. So there's some people, they want to be a suicide bomber terrorist. They blow themselves up in order to kill a busload of people that they don't like. So what's going to be his future? What kind of body does he get? All the religious teachers said that nowhere in any religious scripture does it say one should do suicide bombing to kill innocent men, women, children. It's not one of the religious systems. So whatever this Krishna, although he's in control of everything, but he allows the laws of karma and the material nature to function. He only intervenes when it's to do with a devotee, generally speaking, because devotee is depending on his protection, so he reciprocates. If someone is an atheist, they don't believe in God, so he reciprocates. Then we have our devotees who... I went once in Midnapore in southern Bengal to the temple of Vasu Ghosh. He is one of the kirtan singers in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan in Navadvip. He sang that famous song, Jodi Gauranga Na Hoitu Ki Hoitu. If there was no Gauranga, what would there have been? Who would have given us love for Krishna? Who would have given us the Harinam? Who would have given us the Radha and Krishna pastime like this? So many verses like that. If he hadn't been, then what? Who would have done this? Who would have given us? So, Vasu Ghosh is mentioned, Akiva Jayo Jayo. So he went, and outside his temple, there's a, it's like a tomb. And they said, actually what happened was he was feeling so much separation when Lord Chaitanya left, that he told his disciples, this Jaga tomb, and I'm going to enter into it and bury me alive. I don't want to live. I just feel so much separated, Lord Chaitanya. What's the use of living? So they dug him a grave, a tomb. And then before he went into the tomb, he went and paid obeisances to his deities. And the deities spoke to him. What are you doing? You can't take your life like that. Who's going to serve me? You have to serve me. You have no right to take your life. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me. Like this. And so the deity was speaking, you know. So he didn't do it. That's what it was like, the almost tomb. So Krishna can intervene either through his deities or directly, like in the Narsingadev case, he came to save Prahlad. Or he can adjust, like one time Prabhupada, he was, he cut his finger, I don't remember how now, and he said, one drop of blood, can he show us, see, I got one drop of blood. I should have, Jai Vijay Prabhu, I should have lost my head. My head should have been cut off, but instead Krishna took only one drop of blood, just a small token. So Prabhupada explained that people that take initiation, people that surrender to Krishna, they may suffer, but it's a small quantity compared to what they deserve. We're just paying off a token. A little bit, for good behavior or whatever as the devotee, just get a small percentage of what suffering we should have. Sometimes that helps us to be reminded that this material world is a place of suffering. We don't want to come with the idea that this is a place that we want to be happy in. Materially, because material happiness brings material suffering. Also, that this material world, very difficult to get out. Prabhupada also explained this is a prison house. So, Haridas Thakur, he was chanting Hare Krishna in one Mughal kingdom. And the Mughal ruler had him arrested and brought and challenged, why you are chanting the name, the Hindu names of God when you are born in a Muslim family? And he said, you see, there's only one God. And he has many names in different languages. But so many Muslims are there who have, I mean Hindus are there who have taken to Islam. So one Muslim likes to chant the name of God, of Allah, in Sanskrit. What is the problem? Some may like Arabic, or I like Sanskrit. So Allah's name in Sanskrit is Krishna. So I chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm not hurting anybody, not doing any violence or anything, so what's the problem? So the Nawab, he was somewhat convinced. I mean, it's quite logical, didn't make sense. But then his Ayatollah was very upset. No! If one does it, and eventually many may do it, what will happen to our religion? He should be punished. Put him in jail. So then he was put into jail. And there he's chanting, and he's very blissful. And then the other prisoners, they say, well, why are you chanting? Why are you so happy? What's wrong with you? Are you crazy or something? We're in the prison house. You're supposed to be unhappy in here. He said, no, why? You're all very fortunate. We are very fortunate in the prison. Will you keep teasing us, we're going to beat you. No, you see, this whole world is a prison. The whole world is a prison, but the people outside, they don't know they're in prison. But when you're inside the prison, you get a different perspective. You realize this is a prison. We're forced to die, forced to be reborn. So many things happen to us beyond our control. And just like they're happening here, it's not in our control. The prison keepers are in control here. Like that, outside it's also prison. So if you chant, you see the holy names, then you can liberate your mind. Mantra means, mon means the mind, and tran means to deliver, to liberate. So you can all be freed by chanting. So he convinced them all to chant. They're having big kirtans, chanting, dancing. Then someone gave the report to the king that your prisoners are very happy. What do you mean, my prisoner? How they can be happy in prison? No, you put that Haridas Thakur there, now he's getting everyone to chant and dance. So they're all happy singing in the names of Hare Krishna. So again they brought Haridas Thakur. And they ask him, why you're doing this? You're put in prison. So you see, there's one thing is that I can do anything you say, I don't mind. But I'm not able to stop chanting Hare Krishna. Even if you cut me in little pieces, the last piece will chant Hare Krishna. What can I do? So I'm very sorry, but I have this tendency, chanting Hare Krishna, I cannot get over it. But what's the harm if the prisoners are chanting the holy names and they're reforming themselves, they're getting to be better people? What is the harm? Again, the Ayatollah intervened, you know, the Nawab seemed to be quite not so bad a person, but the Ayatollah kept pressing. They had to take some heavy steps. We have to stop this now in the bud. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said that the sectarian religions have created fortresses around themselves. Nobody understands what is the religion that other believes. Otherwise, you could have all the theists could be together. See, Swarup Damodar Maharaj was a member of URI, the United Religions Initiative. They have their headquarters in San Francisco. And just a few days before I left Mayapur, a whole team of people from the URI came to Mayapur and said that Swarup Damodar Maharaj invited them to Mayapur for their world conference in 2008, December. So out of respect for our departed God brother, so we agreed to host them. 700 Hindus, Muslims, Christians, Buddhists are going to come to Mayapur and discuss unity and diversity amongst the religions. But 500 years ago, this was not the situation that Haridas Thakur was facing. Interfaith dialogue. He was preaching interfaith, but the Ayatollah said he should be punished, he should be killed. He's preaching intolerable things. So then Lord Chaitanya, Haridas Thakur, he was sentenced to be whipped in 22 marketplaces. Bais Bazar, Bazragat. And two or three whippings, you could die. Even today, still they do caning in Singapore. I don't know how many other countries do, but Singapore does. But they keep a doctor there, so you shouldn't die. They just beat you until you're unconscious, and then the doctor will stop, make sure that you revive, and again beat. So, very highly controlled. So this is, there was one American teenager, or youth, I don't know, a teenager or youth, and he sprayed on some people's cars with the spray paint, and he was caught, and I think he was sentenced to 15 canings. And then the American government, everybody made a big uproar. Although there was a mixed opinion about it. But anyway, he was, I think, released finally. I don't know if he was caned. He was, so. I don't know, thought he got released early. But heavy. But so this was the system, and Stephen, now it's still current, but there was no doctor, and there was no one preventing him to die. The idea was beat him so bad that he'll die before the 22 is over. But Haridas Thakur was praying to Krishna that forgive them, they do not know what they do. Forgive them. So later Lord Chaitanya, he said that when he did the show, the Mahaprakash, he said when he came with the Sudarshan Chakra in order to just finish off these executioners. But when he prayed to forgive them, then he couldn't do anything. So then he showed his back, and his Lord Chaitanya's back was filled with whippings. So I took it on my own back. Then Haridas Thakur fainted. So like that, at the end of 22 market beatings, many of the public were protesting, why an innocent person, a saintly person, he doesn't do anything wrong, he didn't steal, he didn't lie, he didn't cheat, he didn't rape, he didn't rob anybody. He simply was chanting the names of God, why should he be punished? Like this, beaten. So there was a big disturbance there. So then at the end of it, Haridas Thakur was still alive. Krishna protected him, he intervened, he saved him. So the two executioners were very frustrated. They're sitting there like in total depression. And Haridas Thakur was so, considerate. He said, my dear friends, my dear sir, why are you looking so down? He said, because you're alive. Why is my being alive a source of depression for you, a source of unhappiness? No, because we were supposed to kill you. We didn't do it, so now we're going to get punished. So if I die, you'll be happy. Oh yes, we'll be very happy. Please die. Okay, then he lied down and went into samadhi. No breathing, no heartbeat, everything was on suspended animation. Very slight, but they couldn't detect it with the special instruments. When Lord Chaitanya was in this kind of samadhi, only Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could detect it by putting a cotton swab in front of his nose. And then there was a little movement. So now they wanted to move him. So the king said, let him, the Nawab said, let him be buried. But the Ayatollah said he shouldn't be buried, he's committed a great offense. If he's buried, his soul will have peace. He shouldn't be buried or burnt. He should be thrown in the river and let the dogs and the vultures eat him. So, okay, throw him in the river. So then they tried to move him. Because he was meditating on Krishna, he was in samadhi. Krishna is heavier than the heaviest, lighter than the lightest. At that time he was heavy. They couldn't move him. They brought elephants, they brought strong men, nobody could move him. Then suddenly he became light, because Krishna also lighter than the lightest. He started blowing in the wind, and so I picked him up and threw him in. Levitating and hit the water, was blown like a balloon across the water. When he was almost on the other side, the touch of the water broke his meditation. He swam to the other side, started chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Krishna, waved to the Nawab. The Nawab was in shock, he's resurrected from the dead. He's really our saint. He got a boat, went on the other side, fell down at the feet of Haridas Thakur and begged, please forgive me. We have committed so much mistake, such a big error we committed. Then that Ayatollah came and he also, the Imam, he came and he, the king, I don't want to listen to you anymore, you misguided me so much, he's a real saint. What do you have me do to him? Now I don't know where I'm going to go, what hell I'm going to suffer. So please, he begged for forgiveness. But that Ayatollah wasn't there to intervene anymore. He came also begging, Haridas Thakur, forgive me. So then, Haridas Thakur said, I'll forgive you. And one condition, you give the order that no one will be obstructed from chanting Hare Krishna anymore in your kingdom. Hari Bol! So like that, Haridas Thakur had to go through so many sacrifices. So people are coming with different consciousnesses. Once in Mayapur, this is a true story, somebody told me, I think Rasa Prayan Prabhu, he lives nearby here. He or somebody told me, I don't know, maybe I thought it was him, it may not be, I'm not 100% sure. That there's a dog coming in after the devotees go out from the evening class. Because in Mayapur the doors were open. And there's this kind of, not grills, but lattice work. The dog would come in and pay obeisances to Prabhupada, lay down flat in front of Prabhupada's Vyasan and go out. So one time I hid also just to watch if it's really true. And sure enough, this dog came in, paid obeisances, got up and went out. So who is that dog? Must be a disciple or something. Sometimes a devotee says if we commit offenses in Vrindavan, we can take birth as a cat or dog. But if you can offer pranam, then you may remember like Bharata, your previous life. It's a kind of purification. The people are just completely absorbed in animalistic life that they can become an animal. So our consciousness is originally pure, but by association with different modes of nature, Prabhupada explains it becomes contaminated. When we are flying on the airplane to Phoenix, from here. Then there was a lady sitting next to us. Somehow it was arranged like that. Somehow I started talking with my secretary and I talked to her. Then she said, well, why are you people vegetarian? Why are you a vegetarian? So I explained about animal killing and how animals suffer, and okay, maybe I can give up animals, but fish, you know, I'm very attached to fish. So Raiti Krishna, I started explaining how the fish are the scavengers in the sea and the waters. They eat anything, any kind of dead body floating, they'll also eat. Oh, no, I'll never eat fish again. No, don't tell me all these things. What will I eat? I don't know, it's too heavy. She, my secretary, gave her the Panchatattva Hare Krishna mantras, and she said she would chant. People don't know, they're looking actually for some solution, but we're getting bodies according to how we're acting. So some people, they've done such horrible things and then they had to suffer also this kind of karmas. It's not Krishna's fault, but Krishna wants us to come out. The Prabhupada said that we're not the Yamadutas or the Yamara, we're not, that's the like police force. We're the welfare department of the government. We're here to save people. That we should try to help people to realize that they should prepare for the next life to go back to Krishna. This is what our independence is. That we can organize our life such a way to get a better birth, to get a better or go back to Godhead, the best, to serve Krishna eternally. But if you get a better birth and you go to the, say, heavenly planets and you're there for 500,000 years or something, or 200,000 years, you come down and end in the worst part of Kali Yuga. So you find that all the acharyas, they pray that, if you accept me in your service, otherwise, if I'm not accepted in your eternal service, then if I can be born as in the family of a devotee. So it's such a rare birth to be born in a family of a devotee, of a yogi, a bhakti yogi. So this is one of the ways that the grihasthas are engaging the, making new devotees. I was just recently in Peru, in South America, and I was in Bolivia, and there's a real renaissance, there's so many young people. There was like 50, 75, each place, young teenagers and youths in their early 20s, who are really fired up to be Krishna conscious and chanting. It was really enlivening to see so many young people who had college students and high school students that were taking up Krishna consciousness. Many of them the children of devotees. I don't know how it's working there. That doesn't work the same everywhere, but somehow there's a real movement now amongst the children. In fact, they go out in January, take their own bus tour and go out preaching, organize. They get the town hall from some mayors, alcaldes, the mayor, and they organize cultural programs, and the girls do Bharatanatyam, they do kirtan, different kinds of preaching programs, like my safari, but with all young people, few adults. I think Anuttama Prabhu, not the GBC, the other one went with him sometime also. So, like that, devotees, we have an opportunity to be Krishna conscious, we give the opportunity to children, we're transmigrating. What Chaitanya said, kabhi naraka Dubai, kabhi swarga utai, kabhi naraka Dubai, danda jana raja jana nodite chubai. Sometime we take birth in heavenly planets, sometime we go down to hell. Hellish existence like this, where like a dunking stool, putting in the water, taken out just when we're about to drown. So this is the material world. And right now we're in Kali Yuga, so this is the time when you see a lot of suffering. But also the Kali Yuga is considered the best yuga because it's very easy to be God conscious in this age, especially with the contrast. If we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, very easily we can get back to Krishna. So this Hare Krishna movement is especially meant for revitalization, reawakening of people's Krishna consciousness, God consciousness. It's the big urgency. Prabhupada said, therefore, one is situated in Krishna consciousness, he is in his pure life. But if his consciousness is adulterated by some type of material mentality, in the next life he gets a corresponding body. He does not necessarily get a human body again. So, we want to carry the aroma with us in the next life of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna either take us back to his eternal service, to Goloka Vrindavan, or otherwise, we don't mind, we're happy to be helping Prabhupada in whatever universe he's in, whatever place he's in, spreading Krishna consciousness. We don't want to be again in the conditional life, just trying to chew the chewed, squeeze the squeezed, just get some temporary material happiness and then again be put into so much suffering. So you're here, one of the major cities of the world, so having impact many important people. So we pray that Lord Chaitanya will empower you more and more to spread Krishna consciousness around the world from this strategic place. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any question? Yes? There's a wireless mic. We have people listening on the internet.
My question is, as you explained, that the reincarnation is more of our action driven rather than the punishment from the Krishna. Is it like we are human beings and we act like an animal? In a way, we are sending a message to the Lord that I rather be an animal than Krishna Pustu, such as that in that way.
Krishna doesn't generally do it directly. He has his agents. He has material nature, Durga, he has Yamaraj, he has the different devas and angels, whatever you want to call them, as demigods who are performing his will. So they implement according to the powers that they're invested with. So according to how a person developed their consciousness, like there's a Padma Purana story about the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where one famous musician, royal musician, had misused his high position just to have extramarital affairs and things like that. And he ended up getting killed by his wife. But anyway, when he was taken to Yamalok by the Yamadutas, Yamaraj said that, look at, you raised to the highest position in society, the royal musician, you had so much power and influence, but you are simply using it for sense gratification, you didn't do anything good. So therefore you are like a high flyer, but a low looker, so you're going to become a vulture in your next birth, you can fly high, but you'll just be looking for the dead bodies, because you're simply interested in the corporal things. So like there's a few examples you read in the Puranas of how they figure it out. It's all quite, like in the ninth chapter, Prabhupada said, it's neutrally done. Like a judge. A judge may give someone an award of money or may punish them, But the judge is not personally gaining or losing anything from that. He's just applying the laws. So there's the laws of karma, and according to how one develops their consciousness, if they have a godly, good consciousness, they can go to the heavenly planets. If they have a violent, destructive, they may become some violent animal. If they have a God consciousness, then they can go back to Godhead. That's a very simplified way. I mean, there's so many shades.